Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
My best friend, Nicole, who's a straight woman, anytime I give her advice, she responds and is like, great, I did that, and he blocked me.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we have Chaz May and Kendall Landreth on the podcast. I fell in love with them via the good old internet. They are comedians, internet starlets, and I saw them do a video together with the caption, POV, you come out as straight to your liberal parents. It has 43 million views, and as you can imagine, in the video, their son comes out as straight, and they are not happy.
No son of mine
okay.
will be straight.
Here's the thing. When you're young, you experiment.
You don't, yeah, this is a phase.
I love you, no matter. Honey?
No, I'm not doing this.
Okay. What do you think of Celine Dion? Are you just done with her?
I don't know.
He doesn't know about Celine Dion anymore.
It is such a delicious video. They are so funny. And their answers to the gay-ass podcast questions are divine, truly. If you are in these United States, I hope you are having a great Thanksgiving week. I know that family time can be trying, triggering, etc. And if you're not with family, I hope you are with chosen family, whether those are people in the real world, if it's people online, or if it's just simply the movie The Family Stone. And you're watching it for the 18th time this month. Stick around to hear about Gay Erotica, the hottest character actress of The Grinch. And at the end of the episode, listen for Chaz May's Candace Bergen impression and let me know your political stance. Let me know you're listening by tagging me on Instagram at Eric Wills or at Gay Ass Podcast. And if you want more, go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast so you can get bonus episodes throughout the hiatus between seasons. That's coming up soon. Stay gay. That's a Gay Ass Podcast with Chaz May and Kendall Goddamn Landreth. Thank you both so much for coming on this Gay Ass Podcast, and thank you for standing by my technical difficulties.
No, you were being kind. It was our technical difficulties. That was all on us.
We joined this Zoom call while we were both frantically running around, and we're like, we don't know how to do this.
Well, for people who are as stressed as you say you're being, the amount of positivity you've brought into the meltdown, I envy your therapist.
Well, I was going to say, Kendall and I kind of had our first fight today. But there was no like exchange of words. It was just kind of like, hey, I'm stressed. It was very fascinating to fight with you because, yeah, it was very interesting because it wasn't a real fight. It was like, I'm stressed.
I do arguing in a very NPR style. Like, I like to be like, okay, so we don't do passive aggressive here. Mm-hmm. So I just don't like the energy.
Yeah, and I thrive on passive aggressiveness.
Is this a reaction from people who yelled around you growing up, or is this something else?
Ding, 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 ding.
Because by the way, not that we're putting our parents on blast or anything, but I happened to grow up with two adults who may or may not have been my mom and dad who did do yelling. And anytime I have the urge to express emotion, I push any volume. And yet, that is too much for my Catholic husband, who grew up with silent parents. So if I say, I'm just feeling frustrated, he'll go, why are you yelling? And I'm like,
oh God,
sweetheart, that was a Jewish whisper. But since we're already going backstory, I want to ask you, for listeners who may not know who you are, can you give us the Inside the Actor Studio, the BTS, of how did we get here today? You both have gorgeous followings on the internet, making silly, hilarious videos. But how did we get to you both sitting in the same room, having your first fight, and now you're on this Gay Ass Podcast? Can you tell me the BTS?
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
Do you want to... Could you tell the story? Oh, come on.
Funny.
We met doing improv. I mean, it's actually funny because we met not that long ago.
Yeah.
We met doing improv during the pandemic. We both joined like a Zoom improv.
Yeah, we were both like New York UCB girlies. And then COVID happened. And then we were kind of, it was like...
We joined like this improv group that was on via Zoom.
Yeah, it was...
Which is a really sad... point in quarantine.
It's where horrible. We were like, doing the way that improv. I'm waiting for you to speak right now and like being like, oh, there's a delay. Like, it's that. And you're coming out and you're like, I'm an astronaut. And then someone's like, oh, it's like, oh, sorry, did you go?
Timing is kind of important for improv, one might say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it would be scenes where we would be like, we're all swimming. I mean, it was probably the worst. Like, I think I would rather have like a sex tape of me released than those improv Zoom recordings released. Like, it was so...
Was it through UCB or was it through an independent contractor that I'm allowed to
it
make
was
fun of?
It was like our UCB friend, like our teacher who was doing it. And so she kind of like invited people. So we were... So it wasn't directly affiliated with
UCB. Okay. Yes. Did you, were you...
But it was all UCB students.
Was it expensive?
No, it was pay what you can.
Oh, okay. This makes it. I was gonna put them on blast, but if it's pay what you can, listen, they're in the pandemic.
No, it was their normal $500 for the class.
Because UCB is famously not cheap. And
there is, I think there is Zoom improv classes. I mean, that is the thing.
Listen, at this point, there's probably like Zoom Lamaze. There's probably Zoom like true
Zoom water aerobics.
I mean, literally, they're like, and now pretend you're diving. So you have UCB in your history, New York City. You both end up moving to LA. Was your internet stardom first, or was what's that backstory?
Well, no, we did. I mean, we both did UCB. It's weird. We just never ran into each other.
Yeah.
UCB.
Yeah, no.
We never ran into each other. We met on this online Zoom class and we're like, you're so funny. And I started posting TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when you started posting.
I don't really know when I did either, but.
Probably right after me.
Yeah.
I know you.
Oh, shut
probably
up.
Probably right after.
I created you.
I made you. No. Since Kendall, you had kind of dived into those waters first. Was it something that started during the pandemic where you're like, I need this creative outlet, and then you saw it resonating with people? Or were you like a fucking boss ass bitch with a deliberate plan to gain millions of followers?
I mean, in a sad sense, I was always trying to do something to become successful in any way. So I was always trying something. I was posting like sketches to Instagram that were like full length character, you know, that you would do at UCB,
a
4-minute character. Which, like, that's not going to go viral. Nobody wants to watch a 4-minute, like, first beat, second beat, third beat, a video of one character. So I was always trying something like that. But with TikTok, I was, like, so way late to the game. I, like, never was on it, even just as a viewer. I didn't even have the app. And then I started dating my girlfriend, and they had a video go viral. So I said, well, I got to do something to impress them. I got to show them that I'm higher status.
Of course. Wait, what was their video that went viral? Do you remember?
It was Barbie. It was like Barbies on the Mattel website that are obviously gay. And it's just them like talking about videos or talking about Barbies that they think are gay. So then I posted a video and I was just like, I mean, I was like, I looked so cool. I posted one video. And it went viral.
Oh,
and now
God. And the rest is herstory. But
and I still do that same character. That's my main character I do. Can you believe it? I don't know. I'm just lucky.
Sometimes the universe does her thing. And clearly the universe delivered the impression of your, do we say Midwestern mom? Do we say?
Thank you. Yeah, my Midwestern mom.
Yeah.
And now I force Chaz to do Midwestern dad. And
well,
he's like, stop making me do this.
That's how I grew in love with you two as a couple. Because, of course, I love you both individually. But I thought it was so exciting to have you both on together because of the fucking liberal parents with the kid that comes out as straight. Chaz, did you get into TikTok on your own like Kendall and then you both teamed up together, or was it like...
Yeah, I think I started doing it during the pandemic, did not have the immediate success as some people had, but I...
We can't win them all.
Sorry, we're not all you. But it was like in 2021, I think, I started, and it was like, I don't know, so dumb. And I'd like occasionally they all did like pretty well, but there was never like one thing I was doing. Maybe just because I'm more versatile than some other performers.
Well, okay.
No, but I don't know. And then at some point we were like, I think it was the Liberal Parents was the first one we did.
Yes. Yeah. We were just like, we got to film. We got to film some.
Okay. Well, fuck both of you, because the liberal parents was huge immediately too. So I think, like,
honestly, that was insane. And you know what's crazy about it is, I think the reason it did so well is because there are so many Republicans that'll share it and be like, oh, see, these liberals or these Republicans get it. And it's like, we are so gay.
I've seen, like, comments that have been like, how do I reach out? Like, how does anyone have the contact information of the boy in this video that I can send my regards to? As if we are real parents and we are real, we really are, like, so mad at him, as if this is not a skit.
It worries me. It worries me that
someone sent me a link of it was on, like, Trump, something Trump.com, that someone had shared it and was like, this is a great, but, like, thinking that we were Republicans making fun of liberals. And I think,
I know.
To be honest, I think that's why it was so successful.
Because it got hijacked.
Because
by...
I think Republicans are stupid. So I think it was like, this, you know what I mean? Like, it was just getting shared by everyone.
Listen,
but...
whatever it takes, if it's gonna sort of go full circle, that it's such a satire that all of a sudden Republicans are like, this is exactly how I feel. But since you are two queer comedians, I do need to ask you the famous gay ass podcast question. And Chaz, why don't we start with you? Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I feel like this is a little on the nose, but my parents named me Chaz. Which is like, and here's the other crazy thing about it is, like, my parents did not receive me being gay well. And we still don't really talk about it.
Stop.
I'm from, like, central Florida. I'm from, like, rural, a town called Date City, Florida, which nobody knows. And, they named me Chaz, because I'm, like, the fourth Charles in my family. But they named me Chaz, which is not a name you give to someone you do not want to be a flaming homosexual.
Is, like, your birth certificate Charles or Chaz?
Charles. It's Charles, but I'm the fourth.
And they were like, okay, so he's definitely Chaz. So basically, right. They put spirit fingers on the name Charles, and exactly. You came tumbling out into the splits.
And then when I was sixth, my mom said, put him in dance class. There's photos of me. I was the only boy in this dance class.
Do you understand that your mom, even if you were not received well as a gay person, she subconsciously really wanted to have a musical theater tap dancing faggot trainee?
Oh, 100%. She raised me.
She indoctrinated you.
I'm like, this is you guys, I'm exactly what you raised me to be. Yeah. Like,
what style of dance were you first in?
It was, there is a photo of me. I'm like in a sequin, like, suit, and I'm holding a clapboard. Because I was, like, the guy, I would, like, tap out, and, like, all these girls would come out, and they were, like, the showgirls.
Yeah. I was always so jealous of the guys in dance class, because there's always one, and he's a center of everything.
Oh, yeah, I was.
But there is that token one boy that did a flat ball change, and the rest is history, and then his parents put him in class, and then them being the center. Like, I'm sure, statistically speaking, Ryan Gosling is probably one of the only boys, like, who came out straight from being the young... Well, this is now me sounding like dance is going to actually make a person gay. But I think that people who are
naturally... But you have to be aware. People have to be aware
that people who are naturally inclined towards dance, who were probably going to at one point at least taste a cock. did your parents...
Have I tasted a cock?
Oh, have you ever tasted cock?
Okay. I have, yes.
And what do you like the taste of dick in particular?
What was the question?
So then
I'm not out.
Yeah.
Well, totally. You're never mind. It's a very sensitive thing, because growing up in the middle of Florida, I'm sure you were not exposed to a ton of, like, proud gay people growing up, right? No,
I didn't come out until my senior year of college, the day before my graduation.
Oh my god.
Which is crazy.
Did you tell your parents right around then?
No, I didn't. I moved to New York, and I was like, when I move to New York, I'm not going to be gay. Like, I'll be honest. I'll just be Chaz.
What in your mind was that? What is Chaz?
I was just like, I'm not, because I was like, all through college, I was like, I'm not gay. And here's the wild thing. I majored in musical theater. But it was not a, it was not like, I was like, there was no gay people in our musical theater program.
Well, and I think people get defensive. I think some gay people, I think some gay men who are in musical theater get defensive, or dancers, where they're like,
well, it's people like me. I'm a part of the fucking problem, because I was like, well, you know, dancers are gay. And I'm sure you were told that your entire life.
Oh,
and
totally.
So you wanted to rebel against that. Right, and then you're thinking, oh my God, if they're right, did they actually make me gay? Am I gay because of the dancing? Like, I'm sure it's very fucking confusing where
you are. Eric.
It's me.
Why I'm gay.
Because I was watching Dance Moms Miami a while ago, because I clearly have watched all the seasons of Dance Moms and all the spinoffs, and now I've moved on to Dance Moms Miami.
A single show that is currently streaming.
I could never, but I could quote every reality show from 2005 to 2012. But there was this little boy on there who's like, he was like 7 years old, and he's already being like, everyone thinks I'm gay, but I'm not gay. And I'm like, how do you know if you're gay or not? But he's like already being like, no, I'm not. And I looked him up. He is gay. He is gay. He's gay.
Spoiler alert, he absolutely came out. But the thing, I like identify with you, Chaz, because it's, you're literally given the name Liza with a Z, but the Charles version. You then are fully tap dancing, surrounded by women, girls who become women eventually. And then you're like thrust into this world of musical theater that you know that you love, that you're passionate about. And then people assume that musical theater people are gay. Like, it kind of must have fucking sucked. Until, did you go through a period of shame relieving, like, once you came out? Because I'm sure it was not like, okay, I'm out, now I'm super happy about it, right?
Yeah, no. It was my senior year of college. I was, like, secretly kind of, like, dating guys. Like, it was, like, very much between, like, me and the guy. Like, it was a very odd time. It was, like, I didn't tell anyone. And then when, like, it was, like, dramatic and, like, whatever. And then I moved to New York. And I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm not gay. Like, I'll be honest. I'll just be Chaz. And like, they can assume, because like, I'm gay. You meet me and you're like, he's gay. There's no like, come on. But I think in college, I was like, I had my hair down. I was wearing like Sperry's and like Guy Harvey.
Your hair down. I said it as a chef is like, I let my hair loose.
I normally have like, I wasn't styling my hair.
Right.
It was like, however I woke up, I was like, yeah, it's just me. It's just Chaz. So.
It's just Chaz. Your roommate's like, stop saying that when you wake up. I don't care.
I was an RA. I did not have a roommate.
Oh, you were an RA too?
Yes.
This is really, really interesting and a good look into the background of it all, because I find that when you see people like you, Chaz, who are just like incredibly funny and comfortable with the gayness of it all now, I would have never known that that was your journey to here.
Yeah, no, it's freeing. It's not new. I'm not young, but like, I only came out when I was 20. I think I came out to my parents when I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28 now. So like, it's still,
oh my gosh,
fresh,
you're
very new. Like, it's,
it is, it is honestly, it's, I want to commend you for even sharing that and that journey, because it's, I do think when you zoom out, you are still in the not deep, deep, full, I guess I'll say you're not at the way end of your journey. You're obviously not at the beginning. You've lived a lot of lives since you came out, but that, I mean, even 5 years from now, it's going to double your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just amazing to be able to like live so strongly in your truth now, when 5 years ago, you were in a very understandable, very fearful place. And so I'm even more excited that you're on a gay ass podcast right now. And so excited you're here with, when I say Kendall, you're like, no, it's more Kendall.
No, Kendall's
thank
right. My parents just spelled it wrong. I don't know why they spelled
it both
that way.
You both have Liza with the ZS names, just the Midwest Florida version. Kendall, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame?
Oh, to be honest, there's so many people. But I really think, so I was thinking yesterday about a moment that really changed me and put me on a really lesbian course. And when I was probably like 15 or 16, my mom had a Kindle. And I, like an e-reader.
Yeah.
I for some reason was like, oh, everyone thinks I'm talking about me because my name's Kendall, which no one probably thought. But she got like a Kindle. And I was like, I had not read at that point a book in years. I was not a reader. I have like, I'm really bad at reading. I don't read ever. I downloaded this book on her Kindle. It was called Waiting in the Wings. And it was supposed to be, I of course didn't read what I read like two sentences of what it was about, and it was about a girl who was on Broadway. And I was like, oh my God, I'd love to read that. It is the smuttiest novel, lesbian novel ever. It was just on my mom's Kindle. I read it within 2 days. I was locked in my room. My mom, it's so embarrassing looking back because I'm sure she looked at it because it was on her Kindle and was like, you're reading porn on my Kindle. But she just kept saying things like, you're just getting through that book, aren't you? You're just getting right through that book.
I'm fully gagged. I'm gagged because I thought you were just going to be like a gay little girl that read a book about Broadway. And now this fucking synopsis I'm reading.
It is horny.
So listen, so this goes through this whole thing about how Jenna McGovern has spent her whole life training for the stage. And then talks about how she like graduates, blah, 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 Broadway, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes to her new co-star is talented, beautiful, generous, Adrian, and the utmost professional. As the two women grow closer on stage and off, they must learn how to fit each other into a demanding lifestyle full of unexpected twists and difficult decisions. But is Jenna ready to sacrifice what she's worked so hard for in exchange for a shot at something much deeper? Fucking, okay, it wasn't, I was hoping they were going to get to like the two.
Wait, was your mom reading this book? Or you found
it? No, I bought it on my mom's Kindle.
But how did you find it? Is this a bestseller?
I searched. Like, no, I honestly looked it up and I had a tough time earlier today to make sure. I'm like, I remember this, right? Then it was, I think it was called Waiting in the Wings. I looked it up. I don't think it's a very popular book. I think I looked up because I decided I wanted to go to acting school. So I think I was looking up like movie, like books about New York City with a girl. And I don't know. It had just come out. Maybe
Broadway,
I don't know.
Girl and
girl. Broadway girl. Yeah. And it is like,
by the way, it is, it's listed as one of the best lesbian romance novels for the 21st century on Goodreads. So,
I would argue that.
Well, listen, for anyone listening that wants to have girl on girl Broadway fucking, I mean, Waiting in the Wings by Melissa Braden, go absolutely off. Wow, what a beautiful way for you to get an insight into, at a young age, the theater lifestyle and the lesbian lifestyle.
Yes, well, and now it's really, nothing's changed for me because I'm a big reader now, but I only read books like that. I like will not read another book. I read Michelle Obama's biography. And then besides that, I read Becoming.
Famously very, very smutty.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. And I tell people, I'm like, read to the 16th chapter and you will be surprised. But besides that, I only read these like smutty lesbian novels. And I'm like, listen, a book is a book.
Wait, you really are the lesbian Midwestern mom. Like, that is so, you go to the bookstore and then you get the paperbacks that are only romance novels, but you will only read lesbian versions. That's actually kind of reclaiming the Midwestern experience, but in a very gay way. And I think that's camp. I think that's chic.
Thank you so much. I love them because I recommend them to everyone. They're so bad, a lot of them. Some of them are great, but a lot of them, I always compare them to kind of like a Hallmark movie. Like, and that's what I love about them. There's nothing like that dramatic in any of them. I mean, there's different types, but a lot of them are like I read this one about a girl who went to her aunt's Christmas tree farm, and then she like fell in love with the girl who like cuts down the trees, but then they like had a love-hate relationship and they were kind of enemies, and then someone's trying to like sell their Christmas farm, and it's just very Hallmark, but it's like lesbians. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's going to have a happy ending. I know nothing that crazy is going to happen. And it's like written like texts. Like it's written like me texting.
Listen, let it be known that erotica can get the job done. Growing up, I fully would go to nifty.org and read stories about
nifty.org.
I would read about a young boy going camping. We'll say hopefully with like either a step uncle or something very non-related, but knowing nifty.org, there might have been blood relations. But I love the young person and the daddy relationship ever since I was a kid, and reading that fucking licked my fucking liquor like the way you don't believe. But this is an interesting thing about the lesbian culture of it all that I'm curious to pose to Chaz. I feel like what you're reading, Kendall, is the aunt's Christmas tree farm, the falling in love with the daughter of her, and it is emotional and connected.
I'm breathing so heavy right now.
You fucking should. But Chaz, do you think gay men are as attuned to reading erotica these days? And if not, what would you personally like to read if you had a book such as that?
I've never read gay erotica.
Really?
So did you even like?
Did you know what Nifty.org was?
I knew Nifty.org, but it was like
you were an author on the website. But you never read.
You've read my things. No, but I have never like I've never like had a I don't know like what was a movie that just became a movie? Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my ex boyfriend loved books.
I love that's an insult.
And I was like, yeah, loser. No, but it was always like, yeah, I'm gonna read this, and I would always buy the books, but I would literally never read them. Yeah. So,
reading is hard. Reading is hard as an adult, I would say, and that's coming from someone that like grew up really like I was a magic gay. Like I'm talking like Chronicles of Narnia, every Roald Dahl book.
I read that. I read Harry Potter, but I feel like it's the gay. Like I don't know.
Reading as an adult feels like you're putting on like a show a little bit, where it's like you're so busy, and then you like. Everything is so stressful and you're like have so many things to do and then you like sit down and light a candle and like read a book. Yeah. It just feels like what am I doing?
It's not sustainable.
Well, that's I think it's like the I will say adults who read are more evolved because they are actually taking stock in their mental health and like it's so much better to do that than look at your phone or whatever. But my husband Matt has his own Kindle, not to be confused with Kindle. And he reads now a ton, and it's like so amazing. And so he got me a Kindle for my birthday, and I've not read a single e-page. However, I fully intend to do so because it is so good for the soul. And I think you know my platform.
Anti-books. I'm so sorry. I'm not anti-books.
Yeah,
I do read, but I've never read like gay books. Is what I'm saying.
You got
it. Also, that's probably my shame of being like I'm not gonna be seen reading this book. Like on a New York subway, I always read.
That's why you got to get a Kindle. Because seriously, I am so bad. I will not read. I mean, I didn't read a book for probably. I didn't read all through high school. Failed every test we had on books. I just didn't read them. I like never read ever until like recently. And I'm like, just start with something. I think sometimes people try to buy and read books they want people to think they've been reading. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I'm going to buy this like self-help book or I'm going to buy this like really intense biography that everyone's talking about. It's like, just read something you want to read. Like you can read anything. And if that's Delilah Green Doesn't Care, which is the last lesbian smutty novel I read.
Delilah Green Doesn't Care. What does she not care about?
Anything, but then you find out at the end she does care about everything.
Well, duh. It sounds like a lesbian Judy Blume, or like what's the one that's like Junie B. Jones is fucking pissed. Who wrote Junie B. again?
Judy Blume? Oh no,
Junie B. Jones.
No, I know, but isn't that also an author?
Yeah,
it is. Oh, it is. I don't know. Oh, but Junie B. Jones was written by Barbara Park. And illustrated by Denise Brunkus. No names I've ever heard before. But yes, Judy Blume is absolutely in that vein. Well, listen, I think, you know, we don't like to get too political on this podcast, but I think we've all agreed that books are good. And I think that was really important that we took that stance. Yeah. Now, while we dive deeper into both of your herstories, I want to ask Chaz a question. You have some very funny videos about, it says, your friend who's been on two dates with the same person. And of course, it's the person that we've all been. I know I've been, which is like someone who is head over heels. You've created your entire love story, even though you've hung out with a person twice. Chaz, these videos feel very specific. Are you a nightmare to date?
1,000%. And that first video that I did was I had just started dating a guy for a week. And I was literally saying all of those things. And then I was like, oh, this is a video. And then as I'm doing
it,
and
then who filmed the video?
The second one, the boy. That the first video was about filmed the second one because now we're dating and now he films all of my videos.
Wait, Chaz, this is not the ending I thought. I thought you were going to say you totally fucked it up. How did he know? How did he feel about that video?
I think he was honestly flattered because, I mean, it's heightened. I'm not like actually...
Right.
Oh, I'm crazy.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I mean, I'm not crazy. Really, it's okay to say you're crazy.
I mean, Kendall, like, was there for the whole thing. I was like, oh, yeah. My God, I love this guy. I think I love him. Like, it was literally, honestly, very similar to what I was doing.
I'm glad it worked out, though, because I give horrible advice. Like, I'm so, like, overtaken by, like, how sweet something is. We were, like, at this craft house we always go to.
They know Kendall by name.
And because I'm there. Because
they're internet famous, but just because, yeah.
I am there every week. I'm getting the garlic parmesan boneless wings. I bring everybody there. I love it. And we were there, and Chaz was like, what should I say? And I was like, you know what? This was after, like, your first date. I was like, you know what? You should just be like, this is what I want. Like, this is what I want. And I want you.
Which is such a lesbian thing to do. She was like, just tell him what you want. Like, don't even play any games. And it's like, gay men play games.
But honestly, that's like not bad advice. That's not bad advice.
And look at you now.
We're engaged. No.
But my best friend, Nicole, who's a straight woman, anytime I give her advice, she responds and is like, great, I did that, and he blocked me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Well, straight men don't respond.
I was going to say, straight, when you're dealing with a straight man, it is the wild, wild west, and they are, and again, I have to give the disclaimer because I have straight brothers, I have friends who are straight
and
men,
sisters.
And straight sisters, and I will tell you that straight men are the least evolved species on this planet, and there are exceptions, but I'm sure the majority of people dating and who are being clear about what they want, if the man is running for the hills, they are probably saving themselves from a lifetime of non-communication. I'm not even a Love is Blind girl, but this most recent season I like skimmed through because I wasn't super attached, but there was this very handsome straight guy with blue eyes. I think he's a firefighter. Something like that. And he's kind of charming in the pods. And then the second he's out of the pods, they meet each other. It's the blonde girl. And they're like, he's being really awkward.
Wait,
and
is he the one who wore an American flag?
Yes, he's always wearing an American flag. Yes, exactly. So you already know like politically what he's coming from. You already know like whatever. But he was kind of charming with a wall in front of him. And then the second he got out of the pods, he showed like the worst version of a straight man, which is who cannot have a single moment of communication about their feelings, and they completely shut down to the point where the other person feels crazy. That's exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about like the straight men.
You don't need to wear makeup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, he's like, yeah. I mean, all this to say, that dating advice about like being clear about what you want. Because by the way, Matt and I, when we first dated, we went on one date, and it was like it was a really enjoyable time, and I was about to go out of town for a week. And so I said, hey, Matt, do you want to go out again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because I'm going out of town. And he was like, yes, totally. And then we like had our first kiss and he came home with me.
Because that's the thing. When you meet, and this is what I really do stand by. I think that maybe if you on a first date are like, not with that person, you're not like, I want to be with you right now. And I know. But to be like, this is what I want. I want a relationship. I'm looking for a relationship. It's like who that will scare away is probably a person who's like a little avoidant, who you probably aren't compatible with anyways. And anyone who is not afraid of that is compatible with you. So it's kind of like, I think you'll have a lot of people be like, oh no, but it's like that saves you a lot of time.
And honestly, if that person does feel avoidant and you want to play it safe, you can still say, hey, I really like you and want to see you again. When it comes up in conversation about like how dating's been going, it's like, yeah, I'm looking for a relationship and it hasn't happened. Like, I think that is, there are ways, but as long as the umbrella is honest, direct honesty, I think like that saves a lot of time. How long, Chaz, have you been with your boyfriend?
Almost 3 months, which is no time at all. But I will say, I dated a guy for 4 years, and it was just like, this is like my first relationship where there's like truly no games. Like there's no like, oh, I'm feeling this way, but like, I want you to say, you know what I mean? There's none of that. And it's so refreshing.
And you're in the honeymoon phase, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's the best fucking part of a relationship. You should live I'm sure you are, but I'm just going to put out into the universe for this, for you and anyone in their honeymoon phase. Like, you better be fucking present as hell, because it is that is magic. That is a drug in your brain. You are under the influence of drugs right now, Chaz.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz.
And also my relationship.
Yeah.
You're like, ketamine.
But really quick, you, speaking of books, you know the book Attached?
Oh my God.
Do you know that book?
I've heard of. And
what's like, because you just brought up avoidancy. Like, I remember when I first broke with my, okay, well, I'm not gonna get into it, but like when we broke up, Kendall was like, you gotta read this book.
A book in which I have read
25 pages of. I read 25 pages of it, and then I literally acted as if I wrote it. I told every person about it, but it really did change my life because here's the thing.
Just 25 pages.
Well, in the first 25 pages, it says, if your anxious attachment, which I was at the time, I've gone to, this was years ago, so I've gone to a lot of therapy. I think I like to think of myself as secure now, but yeah, I know, I'm sorry you've heard this so many times, but
I think I'm anxious. Like, I'm front row. Keep going.
Yes, it was like, if you are anxious, and obviously everything is nuanced. There's a spectrum of people. Mm-hmm. Not everyone fits into,
like, you can be
a mix.
Mix of two.
Yeah, but it was like, if you are fully anxious and you're dating someone who's avoidant, you should not date them. And I think it was just like very, like, no. And I was like, oh, that's actually very helpful for me because it was basically saying avoidant and anxious people are very, usually end up dating each other because what an anxious person will feel. The person who writes this book is going to sue me. They're going to be like, you go and talk about this. You're fully incorrect about all of this.
You've read 3% of the book. Yeah.
But it was like, if you're anxious, when you meet an avoidant person, you're going to feel sparks, quote unquote, but those sparks are just you feeling anxiety. And so you're misreading it because you're like, oh, and so then when a person, and I always found this, I would go on dates with people where I was like, oh, they made me feel so comfortable. We got along so well, but like just something was missing. The romance was missing, but that's not bad. That's actually good because what's missing is your anxiety around that person.
Holy cow. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there because I think historically speaking, one might say that my husband started avoidant, I started anxious, and we're both on our journeys. But I will say that totally tracks about the spark, and it's actually kind of, it is a revolutionary thought that I think part of the reason when I flirt with guys, which I'm still want to do, one of my favorite types of guy is similar to Matt, which is, first of all, classically handsome. If you have a light eye, I am on my knees. But then, if there's a bit of a shyness, that I know that they're underneath the shyness, wanting to break out of their shell, but I get off on like being the person to poke the buttons and see them break out of their shell. And that's probably anxiety.
Well, and because I think it rewires your brain. Even just reading it, I was like, oh, now it makes me less attracted to a person when I get anxiety. Instead of being like, oh my God, this is so special. It makes me like, oh, you're like have to work on some stuff.
But it also can apply to friendships too, I think. Like feeling of comfort that I think the older you get, the more you, like you're saying, you prioritize. And it is, even though you only read a page of the book, I'm taking what you're saying as gospel.
Thank you.
But I will say, I will reference the book. During that time in my life, I was like, wow, Kendall, this book is really good. Like in this like sixth chapter, and Kendall's like, I did not know you only read 25 pages because I definitely talked about this book with you a lot. So you're a freaking liar.
I think that I like read the 25 pages and then deduced a lot. I was like, well, I could write my own book about it.
You're like, I get the gist.
25 pages are a good summary of the.
Yeah, I get the gist of the whole thing. Yeah. That is incredible. Chaz, what would you say is your attachment style?
Nightmare.
Yeah, that was the fourth. I would say my last relationship, I don't want to speak poorly, but I think I was anxious. I think I was anxious in the last relationship, but I do find myself more avoidant normally in new relationships.
And
then I feel like once I get to know someone, I'm kind of anxious. Because I'm like, I'm on my time in this person. Like, I want it to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
That tracks because I think the avoiding is probably a part of your body protecting itself from like,
I'm still not wanting to be fully vulnerable, so I'm going to turn off the faucet.
Totally. And we're all doing what we can. I do also want to ask Kendall, I want to ask about this characterise of you being TikTok's mom. There's so many videos of you doing this personality, but do you personally feel like it's encouraging you or discouraging you to be a mom yourself in this lifetime?
Oh my God. You know what? It has made me come into, here's what I think it started as an impression of my mom. It has slowly morphed into just me. It's just how I, and I think people really, when they meet me, they're like, you're very similar to that character, which feels crazy, but I'm very excitable. I do think if I was a mom, I would be too much. I think I would be too excited all the time. I'd be very obsessed with my kid. So I think it's made me connect more with my motherly side.
Do you think that knowing that about yourself makes you feel encouraged or discouraged from wanting to have kids? And obviously, I don't need to know like if you like if it's obviously a full yes or no, because it would be an insane thing to ask someone. But like at this point in your life, what do you does your gut sway either way?
I think it discourages me mm-hmm. from having children because I think that I, if I had a child, would be, it would overtake my entire life. Like, I don't think I would be able to just do it a little bit or be like healthy, honestly, with it. I think even when I watch with how I am with my dog, Chaz sees it. I'm like, I'm very hyper obsessed with my dog and I take perfect care of her. And I think if I had a kid, I would be, I just couldn't balance a career and having a kid. I think I'd feel so much guilt having a job mm-hmm. while also being like, oh, I need to just, I would just want to spend all my time. I think I'd be obsessed with my child. So therefore I just shouldn't have one.
Well, the thing is it's, I think it's coming from such a good place of you wanting to be able to balance everything to honor your own happiness and path with a child. And I think that's actually a very emotionally, evolved take on it now, because I watched a video recently of someone I follow who said that their kid said they loved daddy more than mommy, and this and mommy was filming the video. It was from her perspective, and she said instead of being like my mom, which was, you know, make my kid feel like they're responsible for my feelings, they just said you're allowed to love daddy more, that's okay, and just like give them their thing. And I was listening to that and I was like,
that would not have been my gut instinct.
You can love your daddy more than me.
I would have been like, what did you say? So I think like it's there. It's so healthy to have that awareness, because you'd much rather have the awareness of what type of parent you don't want to be versus the opposite side, which is, of course I want kids and I'm just whatever, not going to consider it twice. I think considering, just like marriage, just like moving to a new city, consider it.
Well, and I think it's like when you're gay, you have to consider it, because it's like so much thought would, I think if I was straight or if I was able to like naturally conceive a baby, I would be like, we'll see what happens, you know? And I, if it happened, I'd be like, all right, we'll figure it out. Like, I think I'd be a good mom.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a good uncle.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I think we'd have a beautiful baby.
is not the first time Kettle said this to me. I
know.
I think...
I mean, together. Kendall has brought this up.
And he knows, before. And he said we would. Oh, okay. But what was I saying? That,
can you get your hand off my
Sorry, I didn't mean to tell. But when you're gay or when you, you know, can't naturally conceive a baby, it's like, I would have to either plan so much or, like, go through a long application process or like spend $100,000. Like, there's no just like casually it happening. So because of that, I'm like, yeah, I don't think there's, I would have a hard time believing there would ever be a place where I was so like, yes, let's do it, to do one of those paths.
I totally identify with that, because it's one thing to be a young person and be like, of course I, like when I was a teenager, I was like, of course I want kids. And now that I'm like, okay, I'm 34, I'm like, you really got to take stock in a lot of shit to make that decision.
Yes.
Well, I want to make sure to have time to ask you the next famous podcast question, which is very important. It's, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save? Kendall, do you have a name in mind?
Oh, I do. Chaz says this is a bad answer.
We were talking before when we sat down. I was like,
I said, I'm going to say Christine Bransky because she's so hot in The Grinch. And he was like,
wrong.
He was like, what?
No, this is a great perspective. It's a great perspective on a person coming on the podcast and choosing a character actress that is not only a good character actress, but you also want to fuck her. That's kind of gorgeous, I think.
She's so hot in The Grinch. She's so hot in Mamma Mia. She's so, I mean, it just is like it, the list. And I'm just like, but she's so funny. I will never, I don't think anyone would describe my comedy as also really hot, but I mean, so I commend her for that.
Yeah, listen, I think it's very important to note how
tasty she looks in The Grinch. I mean, yes, the comedic bits are amazing. What's the quote? My fucking in-laws always say,
Betty, hi.
There, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And
that's
one part. I also, we were watching it the other day, and my girlfriend and I were like, it is so weird how they make her, like, they have the child who plays young her, and they make the child who is her be like, Merry Christmas. Yeah. It's like, what is this? This is so bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the Jim Carrey Grinch is the least cancelable Christmas film.
Yeah.
But Chaz, what character actress have you selected?
I so struggled with this. And I think, and not that this is a better answer, but Candace Bergen.
A delicious answer in a different way.
Oh. Here's why I think Chaz said that as his answer, because he has an impression of her likes to do.
It's an, I can only say one word. Hold on. It's from his congeniality. Hold on. I'm going to fuck it up. Hold on. Okay. New Jersey. Did you hear it?
Loud and clear, babe.
Loud and fucking clear. Can you tell that's
do it one more time.
Okay. It's only this one word. Okay. New Jersey.
I think it's the forming of the and then the syllabic nature of the
weird,
S.
Like, it's, yeah. Huge
also,
fan.
The first time Chaz did that impression, he literally stopped mid-impression and was like, that was really
I had never done
that
it
That was
before.
Really
I had never done it before.
If
really
you
bad.
Can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love Thank somebody you. Else's Candace Bergen? Kind of get an A Bergen up in Bergen.
No, but the best thing about Candace Bergen, other than her performance in Miss Congeniality, is, I mean, and Book Club, in Book Club 2, the next
Thank
chapter,
you. Thank
is
you.
Her Instagram. Do you follow her?
I don't think I've dived into the Instagram.
It's like Bergen bags or something. And it's like, she paints on expensive designer purses. And she like will like take like a Birkin or something crazy and will like just paint on it. And she's not like an amazing painter. I would kill for it though. But there was one in the caption was like, I told her I couldn't do faces. And the thing on the bag was she was trying to like paint this woman's kids. It was insane. It was fascinating.
To be anyway, a fan. Character actress of a certain age where all you want to do is badly paint.
Is ruin a Prada bag.
A Prada clutch. Oh, we love her. And honestly, you both, I was excited to talk to you, but this conversation, I mean this, it's, you're both so funny, so vulnerable and sweet. And I love watching your marriage a little after your first fight and watching your little marriage quibbles in front of me is actually really special
grown
as
stronger.
Well.
Yeah.
So since we have to sadly end this gay ass podcast, tell the dolls, where can they find you online or otherwise?
Well, you can find me at Kendall Landreth across all platforms. I also have a podcast. It's called the BCC Club. It's anywhere you get your podcasts. And then my girlfriend and I also have a podcast. It's launching in January about relationships. So if you want to know more about attachment styles.
Mazel. Oh my God. That's such a great tease. We will stay tuned for that. And I can't wait to
crazy lineup of guests already.
I know.
Y'all. Okay. That's fully up my alley. And I can't wait to post on the Gay Ass Podcast stuff when it does come out, because that's huge.
You.
Chaz, what about you?
I am on Instagram as It's Chaz May, and I hate saying this because I have to spell it out. It's I-T-S.
No, May. Spell that.
Because
spell
there is another
I-T-S.
Chaz May who messages me, by the way. who the guy who has at Chaz May.
Is he gay?
We're friends. Nope, he's like a baseball player. He's like a straight guy who plays baseball. That's all I know about him.
Yeah, he might be curious. Well, Chaz and Kendall.
And no podcasts.
For now, I mean, listen, it's
for now.
For now, I will see you both at either UCB online improv classes, the gay bar, or beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Fucking Podcast. If you want more bonus content, go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast for bonus episodes, video content, and more. We will have bonus episodes there throughout the hiatus, which I take between seasons. It's going to start in the next couple of weeks and then go into the beginning of next year. So follow me on Instagram for more, at Eric Wills, at Gay Ass Podcast. And enjoy those taters.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.